You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. When it comes to locking up young people, the United States leads the industrialized world. And though youth incarceration rates have been declining for the last two decades, adult prisons still contain many inmates who entered the system as juveniles with life sentences. These prisoners have grown up and lived their entire adult lives behind bars. So what happens to these adults if and when they're released and have to re-enter a society they last knew as teenagers? A new documentary film, Life After Life, explores that question by following three men incarcerated in their teens as they leave San Quentin and try to forge new lives on the outside. KALW's Jen Sheehan sat down with Tamara Perkins, who produced and directed Life After Life.
You first went to San Quentin Prison as a yoga and meditation instructor, right?
Yes.
So tell me about how you got from there to making this film, Life After Life.
Okay, so, I was brought into San Quentin by Alameda County Public Health. This was in 2006. I was there really working with lifers, so men who would not be able to go home unless they were found suitable by a parole board. That basically meant that they had to do a lot of work before they could come home. And some of the men found out that I was also a filmmaker and asked me to tell their story. And I said yes.
And what did that mean to you at the moment? What did that mean to them to tell their story?
I think they really felt invisible. You know, these are the folks that are forgotten. So at that point, in general, lifers were not being released in California. And so they were doing all this work to help, you know, do this self-development and actually support men who are on determinate sentencing, so who were going home, but really with no hope or not a lot of hope of ever actually going home. So I think that they saw a chance to be able to have a voice, to put a human face on the category that they've been given.
Life After Life tells the stories of three different men, all leaving San Quentin having been paroled from life sentences. They're different ages, but were all arrested at 17 and have served between 10 and 30 years behind bars. You filmed them over a number of years, 8 years, you said, you've been working on the film. Mm-hmm. How did you decide to follow these particular men?
So I actually thought I was going to do a film that was only set inside San Quentin because nobody was getting released. And then suddenly, in 2010, two men, Noel and Harrison, were released within a few months of each other.
And these were men who were taking your yoga class?
Yes, uh-huh. They were, actually. Noel, not as often, but Harrison, very religiously. So I did know them both really well.
And so then you were already making a film about them, and then they got released. What was your thought process around what the film was going to become then?
Well, I realized that there were a lot of program films, really just about the group that they were in or something that's inside San Quentin. But what I hadn't seen was something that allows you to go on a journey with the men. And I realized that that's probably what we needed to see. We needed to see them come home. We needed to see them stumble, in some cases fail, and hopefully in some cases succeed. I mean, and anything from, you know, difficult moments with family to deaths and births.
The film really does capture a lot of those really personal moments, like you said, deaths and births and these first moments for the men as they come out into the outside world after being in for 20 years, for 30 years. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to a clip from the movie. Can you explain what's happening here in this clip?
Yes. So Harrison had, you know, just...
And Harrison, who had been in prison for 21 years.
For 21 years. He, he was... He went to prison when he was 17. So he was staying at a halfway house. Suddenly, in a space where there are cars whizzing by, it's loud. There's so much open space, no lines to stay within. And, you know, he's really affected by it.
When I first got out, the first day, I walked to this corner right here with a cup of coffee talking to my roommate. And, you know, he saw that I was really nervous walking down here with all the cars going by. And, you know, we walked to the corner, and every time I kept walking, I kept wanting to head back. We just stood here. I mean, we just stood here for about 15 minutes, and I was wondering. And I told him, man, people probably think we're crazy, man, just standing here drinking coffee and looking at the cars going by. You know, my legs are shaking, and I don't know why, but it's just still difficult. It's difficult just to stand here. And I suppose this will be my test, you know, if I can just walk out here and just stand out here and not feel all those sort of feelings come up like that, that then I'll know, like, okay, you know, I'm here. This is where I belong.
And you said that the men were really open and wanting to tell their own stories, but were there moments for them that they felt too vulnerable to share with you?
I think that one of the reasons that they were able to be vulnerable is that this happened over a number of years. So by the time Noel and Harrison were released, I'd known them for almost 4 years. And I think even just knowing that I'm going to continue to show up and trusting what I'm going to do with the film, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. And what are your hopes for the film? What do you hope that viewers are going to take away from it? And where do you want it to go?
I really want it to reach the widest possible audience. I can see that this will be something, again, to bring voice, but then also getting beyond the choir and getting out to folks who don't understand, don't know, and have not had any exposure, and maybe give them, you know, a different perspective. The original goal was to put a human face, you know, on incarceration, and that's still the main goal. I think that from there, what we can do is endless.